This is the seventh episode of Life and Jiu-Jitsu. In this episode, we talk a little bit about Davin's upbringing as a lifelong grappler, starting with judo at the age of five, and then jiu-jitsu a little bit later on, wrestling in high school. And I think, you know, I did some wrestling in high school and college as well. And then finally settling into being a 24-year practitioner of jiu-jitsu. We talk a little bit about how wrestling and jiu-jitsu relate to each other, as well as share some stories about different training partners and visiting new schools and training while abroad. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoy our seventh episode. And just a quick note, I've received some product from the Armbar Soap Company to review on the podcast. My original vision was to do it on this podcast, however, I'm going to give myself a little bit more time to actually use the product and give you all a thorough review. Thank you for joining us. This is the seventh episode. Yeah, so we're going.
All right.
So yeah, it's my seventh time. It's actually my eighth time doing one.
Okay.
Because I had the idea like 2 years ago. And I finally got around to it. But the first time I got the idea, I got like this like Yeti microphone. It's like a not as complex of a rig as like, you know, this thing with sound inputs and whatnot. But it's just like a quick plug and play microphone. And I invited, you know, Kenny. Degenhart.
Probably if I seen him.
Yeah, from Nashville. Came black belt.
Kenny. No.
He's a guy I'll have to come on. Have to have back on. But I did like a test run episode with him.
Nice.
It's out there in the internet somewhere. It's like a 2-hour conversation I had with him. And that dude has like fucking wild stories.
Okay.
Like his mom, I guess, just did a bad job in picking men. And so yeah, like he started off the podcast with this like crazy story about beating the shit out of his stepfather. And it's like mom was like embezzling money from his business. I mean, just like house on fire type of stories. Okay. You know?
I know who he is.
You know.
Yeah. Black belt. Yeah. I know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I did an episode with him. I'll have to just like release that actually. Cause I held on to it. It's on the internet, but it's like on private mode.
Okay.
And I sent that to a couple friends and I was like, what do you think? And they're like, shit, I don't know if it's like you or your buddy, but that was like a good, like a good 2 hours, you know, of just like shooting the shit, you know?
He'd be good to talk to. Yeah.
Yeah. He's always good. Always got to, Kenny, if you're out there, you know, you got to come on. This is your official, invitation, brother.
Yeah.
You know, he's also kind of a monster at jiu-jitsu. Like he's also pretty good.
Yeah. Rolls hard. Yeah.
Rolls hard, man. Yeah. Dude, he's one of the most disciplined dudes I think I've ever met.
Yeah.
So when I first met him, he was like my size, at least my weight, not my size. You know, I mean, he's got a smaller frame.
Yeah.
And so he was like 190. I was like 195 or something like that. And I was like, oh, so, you know, what's next for you? He's like, oh, you know, I'm going to compete at Pan Ams, you know, probably at 135. I'm like, you're going to lose 60 fucking pounds. He's like, yeah, I got 3 months to do it. And you just saw him shrink down, dude. It's like he just hits that button one day and he's like, no more carbs, no more sugar, no more alcohol.
Yeah. He fought at 54, right?
Something like that, But he like his actual weight got down to like like really, because you got to weigh in with the gi.
Yep.
Yeah, it was something like that.
48, you'll be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those gis are a lot heavier than people realize.
Yeah.
You know,
I just lose 3 pounds for it.
Really?
And I figure that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You. It sucks, but. Yeah, it's, you know, it's different than the wrestling weigh-ins too, right? Because you step on the scale like right before you compete.
Yeah, you step on and then you walk out and go at it.
Yeah, so you gotta be, that's like, you gotta be hydrated when you step on the scale.
Yeah.
You did some wrestling in high school too, right?
Yeah, I wrestled probably 6th grade to junior year.
Yeah. And when did you start jiu-jitsu?
That I'd shoot.
You don't even remember?
I say at 8. Yeah, I always tell everyone at 8, but it was probably like 6, 7.
Yeah.
My dad started, and then I've been involved in jiu-jitsu since 6. So, yeah.
Wow. And how old are you now?
29.
So that's 24 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been involved in jiu-jitsu for 24 years.
Yeah, I just put out the post, like, advertising, you know, that you'd be on.
Yeah.
You know, What we do is like I'll like we're recording it today and I'll release it tomorrow.
Nice.
So if I don't know if you
you know, call me afterwards. They're like, you know what? Don't bleep out that story or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, when I talk shit on so-and-so, like, just bleep that part out, please. Okay. You know? So, but it'll upload as live. So we have this like software that does it, you know?
Nice.
But I was advertised. Yeah. I was writing out that you'd be on. And I was like, shit, when did he start jiu-jitsu? And I was like, reading the thing on your dad's, you know, on Team Maxwell.
Yeah. So what's it say on there?
It says that you started judo at 5.
Yeah.
Which is pretty hardcore.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that was a hardcore place too.
Yeah.
It was the place off of Fruit Ridge, Takeda's.
I keep hearing about Takeda. I've never actually been.
I don't know what their name is.
Yeah. But, well, now there's Sacramento Judo Club.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're in the Yamasa building. I think they might like rent out Yamasa's space on Wednesday or something. They're in that same Fong and Fong building up the street there. You know? Yeah.
There's like Capital City Judo Club and there's Sacramento Judo. Yeah. Like the names are similar. So just. Yeah,
it's so funny to me. Like, there's like why wouldn't it be one? Like one big one.
Yeah,
you know, especially with something like, you know, judo's not that big, right?
No, didn't seem like it. Yeah, seems like jiu-jitsu kind of
like jiu-jitsu just took over. Up.
Yeah, yeah, and judo kind of stayed the same.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of weird.
When you actually, I always had this like this interest in picking your brain about this because you started with jiu-jitsu. And then moved over to wrestling after you did jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I feel like for most people, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Where they start with, you know, I wrestled in high school.
And then go over.
And then went over to jiu-jitsu. And I had my own, like, kind of views on jiu-jitsu based on my wrestling, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, like, for the first 2 years of my jiu-jitsu sort of, I don't know, growing up or whatever. Yeah. I kind of like it was really just 2 years of like attempting to wrestle out of triangles and 2 years of trying to wrestle out of arm, you know.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, I kind of hit this point where I was like, "You got to start doing this proper, man. You're not going to wrestle your way out of a good triangle. You're not going to wrestle your, you know what I mean?"
Yeah.
But I mean, it took a long time. It took a long time. I remember, you know, Andre, probably one of the dirtiest looks I've ever gotten in my life. And it, you know, he's like, you know, he's a fine guy, but I think it was just a look of disappointment, you know.
Yeah.
He was
this is Galinsky.
I just he was actually way more patient with me than he needed to be. I was not the most great, you know, because you know his school was full of like mostly people doing it for hobby. And I just come in with like 8 years of wrestling, you know, against like grown up, you know, white and blue belts, you know. So it was really me being inappropriate. You know?
Yeah.
But probably like one of the most like disappointed looks I've ever received was from Andre when he was teaching like a half guard sweep. You know, that was like what he taught for the day. And it was time for rolling. And you know, you're supposed to try and like use the move that they you know. And so I wind up on bottom in half guard. And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this. And I like explode up to my feet and like double leg the guy down like across the room. And Andre's just looking at me and he's just like, yeah, like, damn, this kid. You know, like, what am I going to do with this kid? And like, you know, and in my own stubbornness and in my own hard headedness, I was like, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
You know,
it worked.
It fucking works. Why would you tell me not to do that? Why don't you tell these pussies to learn takedown defense?
Yeah, sprawl.
So, you know, but that was like me coming from wrestling into jits.
Yeah.
You know, what was like going from jits into wrestling?
It didn't feel different. I don't know. I did pretty good. My first year of wrestling, I did good. I was competing all the time. And I went undefeated my first year at, like I said, it was sixth grade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so freestyle wrestling, too, so I didn't lose. So it kind of just felt like it was just grappling, but with a different set of rules. So, yeah, it felt fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked freestyle. I didn't like when I got to high school. It's a different style of wrestling.
Folk style.
Yeah, I didn't feel that too much.
Yeah, I feel like freestyle makes the most sense to me where they give you
–
it's mostly a standing art.
Yeah.
And then you get those, like, 30 seconds to turn the guy if you take him down.
Yep.
Yeah. And you get points for turning them.
Yeah.
And like more, you know, I was thinking about sort of like the philosophy, the different philosophies of grappling. You know, if you can turn somebody who's sprawled out and trying not to get turned.
Yeah.
it can be said you like pretty well have control of their whole body.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're literally just like hanging onto the floor for dear life. You know,
sprawled out, and then you got to spin them for your points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like folk style wrestling, like that.
There's no points for spinning.
Yeah. And it kind of encourages you to give up your back.
Yeah.
Because when you go down, you definitely don't want to be on your back.
No.
And so it encourages you to kind of turtle up and give up your back and try to stand up from there.
Yeah.
And like, that's not a useful value to inculcate.
No, no. I remember wrestling, the coaches and everyone that grew up wrestling would say he has a weird style, but I think it was jujitsu, a jujitsu style. And it was the basics of jujitsu, you know, pummel. If you want to turn it in, pommel.
Yeah.
It was all the same. So I would just pommel, come up first single, or defend here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was all the basics in jiu-jitsu had me pretty good in wrestling.
Yeah.
It helped. It helped a lot.
Did your dad do like wrestling as well? Or
he would come into practice here and there. Yeah. And wrestle. My coach was a tiny dude. So he was pretty technical though.
So he would actually throw us around.
Yeah. He was our size, but grown man strength. And yeah, he would throw us around.
That's something, man, especially when you're in high school.
Yeah.
I feel like high school sports is like one of the most unforgiving things because you really have a lot of cases of like man versus boy.
Yeah.
You know, like I was like a boy until I turned like 17. I was a late bloomer.
Yeah. I think it's still I'm a boy. Yeah, I still feel old man. Our old man strength is
hard a thing
to deal with now. Yeah, but yeah. I still feel powerful guys. Like, oh man, I'm gonna have to tire this guy out.
Yeah.
When I was in
high school, there was like this there's this kid from Bakersfield who like pinned me twice, and like after our first meeting, my coach was like, "You're gonna do this. You're gonna do that. You're gonna do this. You're gonna do that." And I was like, okay, you know, I was like trying to absorb it, but in the back of my mind, I knew if this motherfucker got a hold of me, he was just going to take me to my back and fit. You know, this guy was so strong.
Yeah. So strong,
you know? Yeah. And I just didn't have the skill set to like, not the skill set, I just really didn't have like the tools to deal with someone who is so much stronger than me. Yeah. Like, you know, when you feel like you have that boy strength, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was weird too. I would deal with guys that were tall, and I'm like, man, those were the ones I hated, the tall guys.
Yeah.
And then the buff guys, the guys who were really wide, never really felt too much danger.
Yeah.
But that wiry tall strength was always hard to deal with in wrestling.
That wiry tall strength is like actual strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. The stocky guys, I always felt like I was able to keep them out.
Yeah.
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 Frame and push them away. Even in wrestling, was able to keep them away from my legs, but. Those wiry guys, sucked to deal with.
When you actually, you know, I'll give a quick shout out here to Mike Hawthy. Do you know Mikey, brown belt under Caesar Gracie?
Mike, I might know him. I'm
tall Indian guy. Names, yeah, me too.
Yeah, Mike,
big tall Indian guy. He's like 6'4".
No, I don't think I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's 6'4". He's a brown belt. He actually keeps getting lighter and lighter. He's doing like yoga and eating like nuts and fruits and like, you know, it's like in the heart room, you know. He's super flexible. His arms are super long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I can pretty much guarantee that I'm stronger than him weightlifting wise.
Yeah.
But, you know, grappling wise, I don't know, man. He just, you know, his hand covers an area like this wide.
Yeah.
And so when they put those claws, especially in the gi, they put those claws on you.
Yeah.
And it's just like creating so much friction. It's like covering such a huge area. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, that's like real strength, man. Yeah. And then having just like, an extra foot of arm on, you know, an extra foot of length on each arm.
Leverage too, way more leverage than then I could create. So it sucks to deal with.
Yeah.
I just pull guard on them. it sucks.
Did you feel like when you were wrestling that there's like a kind of a difference in the athleticism between wrestling and jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Wrestlers, seemed, I don't want to say tougher, but
more
physical.
Tougher, for sure. More physical. In a way, right?
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Like, there's more emphasis on, you know,
grind them out.
Yeah.
For sure. I felt the difference.
Do you feel like jiu-jitsu would benefit from that mentality, or it's not really the place for it, or like, I've always been trying to like wrap my mind around the two different mindsets.
Yeah, it's hard to say because then you see wrestlers come over, they do okay, decent, but you never see them take the worlds or you haven't yet. Yeah, take the worlds or so. Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah. And so I always think like it's your mentality, how you are. I'm pretty lazy, kick back, so that's how my style is in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
If you're kind of aggressive, that's how your style is going to be in jiu-jitsu too.
Yeah.
Smashing, grinding on them.
Yeah, that's definitely me, and I kind of want to find a way to get away from it.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, it might be too late. I don't know. It's been like seven. It's been like 7 years I've been doing this now.
It might be hard.
Yeah, because I went to the Nick Diaz Academy yesterday.
Nice.
Down in Stockton, and actually I went with Mikey. But that's one of those places where like literally everyone who's there is good.
Yeah.
Everyone there is good.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
I never trained with him.
I got this guy Luke and Rudy, and then my buddy Mikey. And I was just like, man, I was just getting like passed around.
Big guys too.
They're just like really technical.
Yeah.
Just like really very technical. I feel like I'm maybe not the most technical. I'm just kind of a smash and pass kind of guy.
Yeah.
And that's been okay up until a point, and I feel like maybe if it's time for me to move on to the next thing, you know, to the next stage of my development.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to like maybe start paying a little more attention and get a little bit more technical, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Were you on bottom there most of the time or?
Yeah, I was on bottom and I was just kind of trying to, you know, there's a weird thing too. Honestly, I feel like, you know, not to make an excuse or whatever, like, you know, I got tossed around, but it's tough when you go to a new academy.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to like
go too hard. And,
yeah.
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 I feel that a lot.
Especially like my, like if you're offended by someone going hard.
Yeah.
You'll be offended by me going hard for sure. Like,
yeah.
You know, because I like the butterfly up to the double leg with the head right in the chest and kind of knock the wind out of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing I need is like Cesar Gracie taking me out back and being like, you want to come in with that shit, huh?
Yeah.
You know, be disrespectful like that, huh? Yeah. So I kind of felt like, hesitant.
I have the same feeling, yeah. Every time I visit somewhere, I have the same feeling.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to go too crazy. Even at Black Belt, I still
kind of don't
want to offend anyone. Yeah. I went out to Japan and rolled. That was tough.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you roll at?
Carp Diem? I can't. Yeah. I don't know the exact.
Carpe Diem?
Something like that. Yeah. And they were all pretty good. My size, too.
Whereabouts in Japan?
That was in Tokyo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Was the school really small? Like, was it a small footprint?
No.
No.
No, it was a good size.
Oh, yeah.
They had two mat spaces. And then, the academy is sponsored by Shoryu and Reebok somehow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know how that works.
Got the hookup, huh?
Yeah.
Reeboks in the jiu-jitsu game?
I get out there, yeah.
Fuck.
But it was a nice setup. I had all Reebok bags. Yeah, it was
nice.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But dealing with the humidity there and then walking around for 2 days, then I decided to go train. It was a bad mix.
Really?
And then eating like a pig. Yeah, it was a bad mix. Yeah. During warm-ups, I looked in the mirror and I was all red.
Oh my god, you're like, shit, this is gonna go well.
The first roll, sure, I was done after the first roll.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That humidity is something.
Yeah. I never dealt with it until that day.
Yeah.
And it sucked, man. I didn't like it at all.
So when you go to another school, like, what would you... You feel all right over at Ultimate Fitness, though. I mean, you teach there.
That's home. Yeah.
That's home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Team Maxwell's, of course.
I still feel like a guest there, but I'm comfortable there.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's Team Maxwell. Yeah. That's home. Right. For sure. Yeah. And Acacio's still, it's home. Yeah.
That's interesting where you feel like I definitely only feel like I have one home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ultimate Fitness. So I guess that comes with time. Like, you kind of have a home base here, a home base there, a home base here.
Yeah.
You know who makes me feel really welcome every time I go is Barrett Yoshida.
Yeah.
Down in San Diego.
Yeah.
He's over at the arena.
Okay.
In San Diego. And you know, I paid the map fee to drop in.
Yeah.
And did some roles with some of his guys, and I kind of, you know, progressively went up the belt ranks.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he was like, "Oh, you know, I thought you were just a regular guy dropping. You're very good. Like you're like you just drop in anytime you want. Don't worry. Yeah, you know." He was like, yeah. And then he just like talked to me for a little while too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to have him on. Actually, Barrett, if you're listening.
Yeah, I'd like. Yeah, I'd like to roll with Barrett.
He's
a size too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he might be
smaller,
a little bit more compact, but okay. Kind of like
yeah,
you know, his fucking feet are like this thick though.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's got bricks for feet,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he, I don't know, it was like, I was a purple belt when I went with him. It was only like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But he just pieced me up. He just has, he's like, actually, I'd love to see you roll with him. You know, yeah. You guys both have like that really like fluid, kind of languid type of style.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was just kind of letting me have whatever, and he kept finding his way to a crucifix on me and like kind of choking.
He's the reason why I started hitting the crucifix.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, he could do it. I should be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like his, I had his foot like in my armpit, like down my arm here. And I was just like trying to grab and trying to get it off of me. Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, your foot is like a brick, dude. Like he's got these paddles, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he's just like, when he grabs you, it's like being grabbed by like cement.
Damn.
You know, he's just really, you know, he's just like really strong, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that type of strength, like in your tendons and ligaments, that can only come from like years and years and years of grappling. You know, kind of like you and like Dustin have too.
Yeah.
But you know, I think he's getting up there. He's like close to 40 or something now, right? And so I asked him, like, I mean, are you still training? Like all the like, what do you do? He's like, well, you know, I try to go 20 rounds a day. Yeah. So he teaches like morning. You know, morning, lunch, and evening.
And
he rolls.
That's good for four, about to be 40.
Right?
Yeah. I can't do that.
I can do like three. It's like 20 rounds a day, dude.
Yeah. I could go for a long time, but I don't think, I don't think 20 rounds.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
20, how long are the rounds?
When I went there, they were 5-minute rounds.
Okay, maybe I could do 20 rounds
a day. Yeah, if you space them out.
Yeah.
Maybe grab like a blue belt. Between
like
something like that.
Yeah. I could do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound bad anymore. 5 minutes.
We go 20 minute rounds a day. Yeah. Could you imagine?
I rolled with before the Master Worlds.
Yeah.
It was actually for the next day after Daniel Cormier and John Jones.
Oh yeah.
We all went out with Casio guys, we all went out, started drinking, and I trained the day before the Daniel Cormier and Casio. Hey, come Sunday.
Yeah.
For do I need to move this or?
No. Okay. You're perfect.
Yeah. Come on Sunday to roll. So, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So we watch the fight, party, and then the next day, I show up at Casio's and I'm by myself.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. No, I'm by myself. Just me and Casio.
Oh my god.
Oh shoot! This isn't good. Good. Julian might one of the Casio's brown belts. He might come. I don't know. He might be late. No, he's not coming. He got pretty wasted the day before.
Let me tell you, I saw him last night. He's not. He's not gonna make it.
No, he's not gonna come.
Julian's in trouble today.
So then he's okay. It's just me and you. He puts, I think it was 60 minutes.
Oh my god! No,
on the clock, and we just go. Yeah, we just start rolling.
Oh my god.
And you can tell we're kind of pacing ourselves at first, and then it got built up. I was getting smashed, and then by the end of the roll, we were just like stuck in one position. Didn't want to move. Still made it.
Are you done yet? No, I'm not done. He was like holding onto each other's belts or something like that. Oh man, that's tough, man. There's always those guys, like you and I were talking about this, last Wednesday after class. Like always those people where, for whatever reason, when you roll, you just butt heads, or maybe not butt heads, but like try to smash each other.
Yeah.
It's like
not
always the most gentle, you know. I mean, I have like Big Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, Big Jordan's like my tormentor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
when he can use his power on.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's so rough, dude.
Not really power, just go full strength.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, for folks who might not know Big Jordan, I actually don't know Jordan's last name, but you know, he's like a UC Davis football player, wrestler, UC Davis wrestler, and a power lifter. And I mean, he's like maybe only 30 pounds bigger than me, maybe not that much bigger than me, like, you know, weight wise. Yeah. But fuck, he's strong.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, he broke my rib last year. And then he just started like esteem locking me and like foot locking me at the first opportunity to get something. Just like, dude, Jordan, you want to let me roll?
He's yeah.
Like, no, I don't.
I feel like he takes it easy on me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's gentle with me.
He's not gentle with me. He's not gentle with me at all, dude. I remember one time I tried, like, I was playing bottom and he was on top, and I tried to, like, come up to a double leg.
Oh, no.
he just grabbed my lapel with both hands on one side.
Yeah.
And just like people do with the battle ropes, you know, like that. Yeah. He just, like, sprawled and smashed my face into the mat. And I was like, fuck, yeah. Jordan, what I do? I have to wonder if he's, like, mad at me for something I did or something. So I'm just like, fuck, dude, like, is this really called for, man?
Yeah,
you know, but it might be because, you know, I'm, you know, who tells me this is Amir. He's like, I guess I can kind of be that way with people too.
Yeah.
It's like, I shouldn't be too surprised to get some of my own treatment back. You know, it's kind of healthy in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I guess you and Cassie are kind of like that.
No, I feel like he could roll smooth with me. I always feel like I could roll a costume for a long time and not get injured. Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
But when I talk to my dad, hey, how does he roll with you? My dad, like, he rolls. It feels good, smooth. I think, man, not me. This was a long time ago, of course. Yeah. My dad doesn't roll too much anymore. But, man, when I rolled him, man, it feels like he wants to beat the hell out of me. I don't know what you did, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I feel like he's just a cool pace.
A cool pace.
Yeah. Yeah, not too wild.
Yeah. You know Big Jeff?
Jeff.
He comes into your Ultimate Fitness sometimes. Real estate guy, blonde guy, 230, maybe 6'2".
Yeah.
He and I are kind of like that, too. We're kind of like fiery on each other.
Yeah.
And it's like we're best, you know, we're like best buds, you know, we're good friends.
Yeah.
I enjoy seeing him every time I do, but for whatever reason, when we start rolling, you know, I feel like it's on him. I feel like it's on him. He's like super like long and lanky, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really easy to catch a forearm and for it to be like bone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I have those guys too. Or you just roll with and feel like you're getting hurt. Just like, but you're just bumping.
Yeah.
Bumping a little bit.
Yeah. Like, dude, why does your shoulder feel like a dagger?
Yeah.
You know?
I have those.
Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah. I don't really avoid them, but I know, like, okay. I'm about to get bumped.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to keep going.
So having grown up in jiu-jitsu the way that you have, was there ever like a burnout period or kind of just like, shit, I'm sick of this?
Yeah.
How does that work? Like going through, you know, like going through that and then to keep going.
It's, I wouldn't say it was jiu-jitsu. I think it was more wrestling.
Really?
Yeah. It was just the
I definitely burned out on wrestling.
Yeah, too. Yeah. It was the injuries. I got the shoulder. My shoulder kept dislocating every year, so I went through probably all of high school. My elbow dislocated in a match. That was freshman year. Next year, my shoulder dislocated in a match, and then after that, my shoulder kept popping out. And then senior year, I was like, man, screw this, screw everything.
You were done.
Yeah. Yeah, I even stopped going to Takasu. It was like I would wrestle for the season, and then after that, I would go to Takasu's after that season. But then I would get hurt, so by the time I held up, it would already be wrestling season.
Oh my God! Oh my goodness!
it sucked.
Yeah.
So then I just stopped after high school, of course. Stopped wrestling altogether. Well, no, senior year I stopped wrestling, and then when I was 20, I came back to jiu-jitsu.
Oh, so you took like 2 years off, something like that?
Yeah, it was 2 years, but then like I said, it felt like four for high school because of that injury, and then I would go to Casio like 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, hi, long time, and then go back
and home. Not be seen again.
Yeah.
Not be seen again for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also sucked having your mom drive you all the way out there, a kid, so having your mom drive you all the way out from the South area all the way out to Casio, it was tough.
Where was Casio's?
Casio was in the, at the time.
Is he in the north?
Is in the north, yeah. I don't know what area.
Yeah.
So he was over there by Kovar's main.
Oh, okay. Main so spot. A little.
It was, yeah.
A little bit further away.
Yep. Yeah. So it was like from South Sac all the way out. So it's
just
there.
A chore.
Yep.
And you weren't that into it. At the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's,
I think so.
That's tough, man. I mean, like, the, I feel like jiu-jitsu just comes with a lot of chores.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I, that's one of my least favorite things about it, though I love jits, but you know, when I first started, I had like a gi.
Yeah.
And so I would try and space it out, but I'd have to do laundry like 3 times a week, and you know, plus no gi, and it's, you know, it's just tough. I'd get like these like calluses.
I do too.
You know, or like hangnails, like just like the skin on the top of my fingers would just like rip off.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, like just carrying the ghee and all the laundry, like just putting that shit in the laundry detergent, like it just like burns you right here, like right above your nails. And you're just like, fuck, you know, like just doing laundry constantly, driving to the academy constantly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough. It's tough, you know, and then I realized like when I was wrestling in high school and college, it was kind of free and it was just, you know, and then like jiu-jitsu was like, no, it's like you need to, you know, you start realizing how valuable good training is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just a different perspective. I haven't really burned out on jiu-jitsu as much as I have, as much as I did on wrestling. I was more like of an aggressive weight cutter in high school wrestling too.
I don't remember cutting weight too much.
Yeah.
I would stop eating.
You'd lean out a little bit.
Yeah. But it wasn't tough. Jiu-jitsu got tough making weight.
Really?
Yeah. I went to what? I think blue belt, I went to 141.
Fuck, dude.
And you had to be 137. In a gi.
Right.
Yeah, so that sucked. I made that 3 times.
What were you walking around at?
At the time, I was probably 150.
Yeah. Hey.
I could walk into the featherweight. Yeah, it's 154.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was, now that's tough even making.
Yeah, you're closer to like 170 now, right?
Yeah, 170, 175.
Yeah, because you and Dustin are about the same size.
Yeah. I think he's more full, but I get more full, right?
Yeah, Dustin looks like more of like a traditional weightlifter grappler, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That must be genetics. I've never seen him lift a weight in his life. He must be doing it offside or something.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, and everyone's gone out of Ultimate Fitness.
Yeah.
He's lifting. Yeah, he's stocky too.
He's stocky. He's strong.
Thick, man. Yeah. His arms are thick. Legs. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when he gave me my brown belt, he did one of these things where he kind of had everyone, you know, the purpose is not to show off your skill, but rather to humble you.
Yeah.
And he did this thing where he had me, you know, he kind of put us through like a second warm up and then had me spar everyone in the class.
Ah, nice.
And then he came in at the end and I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm good enough to the point where no one's going to ragdoll me anymore. Yeah. Like, I'm that good, at least. I'm not going to get ragdolled. Wrong.
Wrong.
He just came in and just fucking ragdolled me. I was, like, closing my eyes, like, hoping for it to be over, you know? And it's like, congratulations, you're a brown belt. I'm like, really? I feel like shit. Yeah. I feel like you should demote me after that.
How long did you roll, though?
Oh, my goodness. It was, like, the warm-up, which was pretty tough.
Okay.
And then we rolled for probably like 25 to 30 minutes, like, you know, just kind of having everyone in the class jump in after 2 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was just really rough.
Man. Yeah.
That was just really rough.
Did you try to disguise it, or it was just like, go get
it? It was just go.
It's his day.
Yeah, just go. It's his day. And everyone was like coming after me and I was like huffing and puffing. But yeah, you and him have really different styles. So yeah, I feel like he's more of like, I feel like I'm more like his child in a way. Like my style is kind of much more akin to his than to yours, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. There's kind of like that dude. It's almost like the yin and yang of jiu-jitsu, right? Like the kind of pressured top players, like the grinder type of guys almost.
Yeah.
Versus like you is like a much more, frankly, I think you have the more beautiful style. It's like an actual style.
Yeah.
There's an actual like stylistic elements to it, right?
Yeah. It's I think it's smooth. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's smooth. I don't feel like I would get injured if I rolled with someone else rolling like me.
Yeah.
It's possible, but yeah, I don't feel like that's what I always see, like different styles, I'm like, that's okay. It's ugly, but it's okay. Yeah. But I don't. Everyone should have their own style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone should.
Did you grow up rolling with your dad? What was that like? Did you ever, like, was it like he was kind of pushing you along and you wanted to do it, or what was like, you it get introduced weird. To it?
That's what,
how does that work?
That's what I was, I guess, I thought, I didn't know I had a choice, like, not coming. I didn't know there was a choice.
I didn't know I could. I didn't know I couldn't.
Yeah, I probably didn't have a choice, but I didn't know. I didn't. So it was just every day we're going to train. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And of course, when my brother was the same thing. Yeah,
Freddie.
Every day we were going to train.
You know what? I looked you up when, like, before you came over, just to get some conversation topics and to sort of like look up your accomplishments and stuff like that. And looked you up on YouTube. And I found this, like, old, it was, like, Sure Dog Underground, like, post. And it was, like, Davin Maxwell, does anyone know who this guy is? Like, he's ready to take over the scene.
Yeah.
And then right below that, there was, like, another comment. And it was, like, yeah, I heard Davin's good, but I heard, like, his brother Freddie beats his ass.
Yeah, he did.
And I was, like, wait. People were, like, I heard Freddie's, like, really the guy to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah. He
was a monster.
Not training anymore.
No.
Was he older or younger?
He's older, 4 years older.
Okay.
So of course he would smash me.
Yeah, that's tough too when you're a kid.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah, he was good, man.
So your dad was taking both of you.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, get in the car, we're going.
Yep. Felt like every day. I don't know if it were like three times a week or what, but it felt like every single day.
And so would you roll with him ever when you got big enough or?
When I got big enough, he was already kind of, my dad, he was already kind of injured.
Oh, no.
By the time I was purple belt, he was not rolling too much.
Okay.
Yeah. When I was purple, I think he was brown, about to be black.
Okay.
So we would roll smooth.
Light.
But nothing serious. There was a couple times where I would be getting ready for a competition, so we would go at it.
Yeah.
But by the time he got his black belt, he was already pretty beat up.
Shit.
Yeah.
What are the injuries? What does he have?
I think he has herniated disc in his back, a couple bulging discs.
Oh my goodness.
And then always his knees, everything now.
So it's just like you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. Yeah. You're done grappling.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he still rolls, but then after he walks away, we line up like, oh, I shouldn't have did that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough because if you don't roll, your skill set will.
Yeah.
Will go to shit, right? Yeah.
It's kind of weird. He doesn't roll too much, but he studies all day.
Really?
He's on YouTube looking at matches.
So skill set still stays sharp. Teach with technique. And
it's kind of fun. He doesn't roll, but he's like, hey, I seen the Meows do this. Like, and then I would go look. He doesn't remember. He has a real bad memory. I seen him do something nice. I don't remember it. He's trying it. I don't remember it. So then I'll go back home and I'll look up the match he's talking about. Like, oh, okay, I know what they're doing. And I'll come back the next day.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they're doing this. Okay. But yeah, he'll actually point something out. Like, this is going to be the next thing. You need to learn this. And then like, okay, we'll see. We'll see. He doesn't remember it. He can't show me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day I'll look it up. Like, okay, yeah, that was nice.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. But he studies way more than me.
Really?
But yeah.
Yeah, studying is an important part of the game too. It's like there's this kid over at Ultimate Fitness. I wound up taking over a class once. So I just taught like a couple techniques, and he like says hi to me. He's like, "Oh, what can I work on now? What do you think?" Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, I don't know. I taught you one class, you know." But he's like an up and coming, you know, it's like an aspiring MMA fighter, right? Yeah. And I was like, "Well, you know, I mean, the best thing you can do for yourself is to like study."
Yeah.
You know, like if you're, you know, not really knowing anything about you, the best thing you can do is to like use your head and not just bang your head against the wall and, you know, continually like just like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people who just blindly try harder.
Yeah.
And that's not really like, that's not really necessarily the ticket, right?
No.
Like you kind of study.
Yeah. Yeah. Study. That's what I feel like I improve the most when I compete, but it's not, I don't know if it's competing, but I just like, I'll hop on the video game, like, man, I should be doing something jujitsu right now. I'll go on the computer, start studying.
Yeah.
And start watching everyone's match, especially the person I'm going to fight. I'll watch his match.
Yeah, watch their tendencies.
Yeah. And then that's when I feel like I make my biggest jumps, just studying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people do it.
I feel like a lot of people don't do that. They just kind of feel like they can just keep punching that ticket, like showing up. Oh, I showed up. Or like, oh, and then I ran 4 miles. You know, well, that's good, actually. Like conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, I really shouldn't diminish it because I could stand to be in better condition myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just feel like I run into so many people who are kind of like me when I was less mature.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to fucking posture out of this triangle, bro. I'm just going to fucking...
Great choke out of it. Yeah,
I'm just gonna posture real hard. Like, dude, you gotta like, you know, there's layers to this, you know? So I was reading this thing that this piece. It was on the news that, and I think this can be applied to jiu-jitsu as well. But I guess like all of the performing arts are just like exploding in terms of technical progression in the era of YouTube.
Yeah.
So like dancing. Just like took off in the last like 10 years because of YouTube, you know, because everyone's like looking at each other's dance moves now and like saying like, oh, I can throw this little variation into my own shit. You know what I mean? And I feel like the same can be said for the same should be able to be said for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, where you, like it's kind of like having like study. The world's knowledge like at your fingertips, you know?
Yeah.
And instead you use it to look at cats.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a cousin that he actually dances for the Jabberwockies in Vegas.
I was to bring up the Jabberwockies because they fucking blew my mind when I was a kid.
Yeah, so he was in Vegas, but he's in China right now dancing. I guess I have a show out there, so he's dancing with them. And that's what I asked him, Ed, so what do you guys do? Do you guys, I know you guys practice all day, but do you guys watch each other?
How does it work? Yeah.
He was saying it sounded like jiu-jitsu. Like, yeah, we watch people, see what they're doing, and then some like studying.
Just study it.
Yep.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. That's, all those performance arts are just gonna like just gonna blow up, you know. In the future when machines take over all of our jobs. Which I don't think it's possible, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The only way left to make a living is gonna be entertaining each other. You know, whether it be like professional gaming or fucking you know, dancing or you know, that's why I started this podcast, actually. This is going to be the only useful skill left.
Yeah.
You know? I'd read in the Wall Street Journal, there's this company in Japan. They're like an auto insurance company. And they laid off 35 insurance adjusters.
Oh, yeah.
And they replaced it with one computer.
Damn.
IBM's Watson. It's like an artificial intelligence computer, right?
Yeah.
And so the way it works is it has an email and it has a telephone number. And if you get into an accident, you just email it the police report. You email it like unstructured photos of the accident.
Yeah.
You can call it and like leave your description of the accident.
Wow.
And it'll like just beep, 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 figure it out and be like, okay, here's your return.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah.
It's working better than the humans would have worked.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, you know, because all it's doing is just like running. You know, the narrative of the accident versus like the protocols of the policy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, boom, you know, that's done.
Seems simple.
It seems simple, right? It's fucking kind of scary too, though.
Sucks for those 30 people.
Right? Can you imagine?
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah. You know, they used to say like, if you can't, you know, they used to say if your job can be replaced by a machine, well, don't you kind of suck? Like, isn't your job just moving something from here to here? Like, isn't that a kind of a menial? You know, it used to be just like really menial, like kind of, you know, like packaging something was, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's like, that's pretty complex, man. Yeah. Like, that's getting, it's crazy. That's getting up there.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think a robot will ever do jiu-jitsu, so I'm
saying. Yeah.
It wouldn't be fair.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, you know, in the future, we're all just going to be like, taken care of. I don't know. I mean, it's possible. Like the people are talking about this thing called like universal basic income. You know,
yeah,
it's
just like, I heard about
just
that,
give everyone some money.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, the future is going to be fucking dark.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And we're just going to be like sitting back on our basic income, like dancing like the Jabberwockies, studying jiu-jitsu and playing video games for each other.
Damn. Yeah. It's. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about getting money for nothing.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That'd be something, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't deny any money. I would still train.
Yeah, you guys, can put it right here. Yeah, I mean, what would be different? You would just keep training, right?
Yep. Yeah, nothing would change for me. Yeah. I would have more money.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's funny. So I listen to the Joe Rogan podcast a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
Like they're all fucking. They are actual alpha males.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're just like super rich.
Yeah.
Well accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, Joe's like a black belt. You know himself. Yeah. But I hear him describe his life, and his problems sound like not too different than my problems.
Nah. Yeah, he's human.
Yeah, he's like, I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
My wife's friends are fucking annoying. Like, I have to do shit. I don't, you know, like, he's like, you know, it's actually really interesting how candidly he speaks about, like, being wealthy. He's like, I don't know. If I want a laptop, I can go get one, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, and that's it. You know, like, it doesn't really, I sit in the same traffic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I wonder if he trains still. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be hard for a guy like that, right?
He's so busy. Even that, I listen to him all the time. Even the comedy thing.
Yeah.
Sounds like jiu-jitsu. Sounds like he has to go on stage and rep whatever he's going to say out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, everything comes down to studying and practicing it.
Yeah, I had this old roommate who's no longer around, unfortunately, but I introduced him to like BJJ Scout and like some of the things, like, shit, this is mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, anything like that, it really just comes down to, studying.
Yeah.
Stand up comedy seems really difficult though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like being funny in a conversation, because like when you're, being funny in a conversation is almost like jujitsu, right? Like, I'm kind of just taking your momentum and turning it into something funny. Or like, we're talking and then I'm able to turn it into like a joke, you know?
Yeah.
But to like just stand up in front of people.
Yeah.
And just start, fuck.
It's weird. Yeah, it'd be weird.
Fuck, man. Yeah. I couldn't, like, I went to see Joe Rogan when he was in town.
I didn't get to see him.
Yeah. My buddy got like a block of tickets for him and his friend, so we all went. But I was just thinking about it. I was like, fuck, dude, there's like a bunch of people just walk, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what happens if you're not funny?
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably naturals at it.
Yeah.
Like, Joey Diaz is always on his show.
Joey Diaz kills me.
He seems like he'll have you laughing even when he's not on a stage.
Yeah.
But Joe Rogan doesn't seem like he's I mean, he seems cool as hell.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like Joey Diaz funny.
No.
Like this talking. Yeah.
Joe Rogan seems really serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
he's like, I'm getting up at 6 a.m. I'm doing yoga at 12.
I work out hard every morning. Like, what?
Yeah.
I wake up, drink coffee, work out hard.
Yeah.
Like, oh, damn.
Gotta stave off old age. Gotta stave off old age. I'm on my ketogenic diet. You know, putting on my Vibram shoes. Gotta go for these runs. What am I going to do if I don't go for a run? You know, it's like, he seems really like, yeah, I don't know. He doesn't seem like someone I would think is naturally funny.
Yeah.
He seems like a fucking like army drill sergeant almost. Yeah. Like, he's like so disciplined, you know.
Yeah.
This guy Graham Greene is a author. I just read this book by him called The Comedians, and it's about these guys who are in like old school Haiti under a dictatorial government.
Yeah,
but you know, it's really just about life, right? The book is. Anyways, he has this line in it where the author is thinking, you know, the narrator is thinking to himself. He has this line in it and he says, we admire in others the traits that we do not have for ourselves. Like, you know, like when you admire something, it's typically something that you don't have yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of like what I admire about Joe, is like that discipline that he has, you know? Yeah. It's like, as you get older and like your parents aren't around, or there's, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you don't have to make your bed.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, whatever, like get up at 6 a.m. and go for the run. Yeah. You know, you'll feel better if you do.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to like living with discipline is hard, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like frankly, I feel like one of the things that I've gotten away from in my martial arts is just that discipline in my daily life. I'm eating candy. I'm kind of having wine with dinner.
Yeah.
You know, maybe let my car get dirty. You know, little shit like that, but that starts adding up, you know? Yeah, you're like, maybe I'll show up to class 15 minutes late and skip the warm-up.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I want to talk about jiu-jitsu. I want to talk about warm-ups with you for a second. Do you feel like there's a point where you're just like, no?
I hate warm-ups.
Yeah, okay.
I hate warm-ups. Yeah, I don't, yeah.
You know?
It just seems like the thing to do just to waste time. I would rather, like, show a move and have everyone drill the move.
Yeah. Yeah, right. For
a couple hours. But then you get people that want to just sit down and talk.
Yeah. I feel like there's... Yeah, I feel like, you know, especially with jiu-jitsu, is so, you know, it's the more progressive martial art. It's more modern than any of the other martial arts. You know, we're definitely not, like, you know, throwing balls of chi at each other and you're falling down because I'm your instructor. You know? But we still come from that martial arts lineage, and it's still, like, very tradition-bound, you know? And so, like, it's not the, you know, free thinking is not always encouraged.
No.
You know? Yeah. But... You know, in this space, in this podcast, we do encourage free thinking. I got to tell you, I'm tired of warm-ups, dude. I feel...
Mine are short, though, huh?
Yours are short. Yeah, yours are.
Because I don't... Yeah. If you want to go work your cardio, go run after.
Go work your cardio. Yeah.
But I get warmed up doing the moves. If you show me a move, I'm going to drill it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get tired doing that. Yeah. Warmed up doing that.
Yeah.
And then I can roll after.
Yeah. And then, like, I mean, frankly, I feel like different people need different times for the move, right? Like, if you like that inside de la Hiva variation that you were showing last Wednesday, I needed some time with that. Like, I'm still trying to play with it, you know, just because it's not something that I would naturally do. I really need, but other people were like, Jeff got it right away.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of wish that, like, jiu-jitsu, like, the, it should be like warm up on your own.
Yeah.
You know, and like the techniques, I love learning the techniques, but I also feel like there should be some time for like kind of like a sandbox where everyone just kind of shows up and be like, what would you like to work on today? You know, like, I've been having trouble, like, finishing Darce chokes. I've been having trouble, like, you know, like, for me, I'm having trouble taking the back and staying on the back against really good players. Like, I can take a chump's back.
Yeah.
But, like, against, like, really good people, I'm having trouble, like, you know, just being, like, glue on, you know? Yeah. And I feel like maybe there comes a point where you have to take control of your own training.
Yeah.
And you say, like, okay, this is what I want to work on, and these are the steps I need to take to get better.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But then I feel like you're maybe, like, risk offending your teacher. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, like, you know, due respect, I don't want to, like, do this guillotine variation for the 80th time. Yeah. You know, I'm really struggling with my back takes here. You know?
Yeah. That's what I think. You could ask the instructor, or, like, when Casio shows a move, I won't do anything. I will just do that move over and over until I'm,
because he's like you're like a child of his almost, like, not like an actual child, but, like, he's like your
big brother.
Yeah, big brother
for sure. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I would never go off into a different even, like, the ending, like, do whatever you want, just do exactly,
just do more of the same. What would you like me to do?
But I did a couple of times where teaching at Ultimate Fitness, I did drill whatever you want, I don't care what you do, just drill it, and don't stop. And then I see people talking, like, god damn it, man, you guys are gonna make me do warm-ups.
All right, everybody start running. You know, you guys can't handle the freedom.
Yeah. But then, too, I guess some people need to know how to do hip escapes.
Yeah.
And
so
that stuff, I don't know about doing it every day, but you got to know how to do that stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that I call out, it's jiu-jitsu stuff, like hip escapes up to your knees or reverse hip escapes. You got to know how to do that.
Yeah.
Armbar escapes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not, like, trying to put you on blast specifically. Like, it's not it's not about you.
That's why I don't do anything too crazy. Like, burpees is probably the hardest one I'll call out.
Yeah.
But even technical stand-ups and that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to know how to do them. But, yeah, I don't like anything crazy. Sprints or...
Yeah, yeah. I feel like the best thing that's going to condition your body for it is just going to be more jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Like, more free rolling.
Yeah, rolls.
You know?
Yeah, that's the best condition for sure.
I almost wonder, like, if the, like, advanced BJJ player can't get the whole practice in an hour and just do, like, maybe, like, 20 minutes of study and then 40 minutes of roll.
Yeah.
And then just get out. But, because, like, when you're, I don't know, I feel like when you're more advanced, like, you're going to know all the movements and stuff. Yeah. You just need to, like, put them together in different variations and then, hit them. I just took like 2 years. I took like a year and a half off, kind of reluctantly, but I broke my rib. Big Jordan broke the rib. And before that, I had vertigo.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, so vertigo, like for folks that are listening that might not know, is like a salt and protein ball crystallizes in your ear. And it turns into like a little kidney stone, but it's in your ear canal. So you've got this thing floating around in your ear, and it's setting off the sensors that tell your mind where you are in space. So you just kind of feel like you're like in a washing machine all the time. So I tried to like keep rolling through it.
It's probably tough.
Oh, super tough. Yeah. I was like nauseous. I have to like go puke and just be like, all right, dude. So I took like 6 months off because of that.
Yeah.
And now that I'm like, I feel like I'm finally like coming back and training like consistently. Yeah. I just pulled my back, you know, gosh darn it. It's just like my lower back muscle.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I think it'll be fine. But I almost feel like, I don't feel like I got worse, but like, it's changed my game in some sort of way that I can't really put my finger on. Like I feel like I was also weightlifting this whole time that I was off. So I'm a little bit more like stronger and more muscle bound, but maybe not as mobile as I used to be.
Yeah.
And like a lot of like jujitsu for me is at least in the feeling of it of like, oh, like I can feel that this move, that this like technique tree is open, or I can feel that these like different areas are open. And I feel like I've kind of like lost some of that feeling. So I just haven't been like around it, for so long. So I'm trying to like slowly get that back. But there are days that are just like disheartening. Like yesterday was disheartening, you know, like when I went to the Nick Diaz Academy. Yeah. I was like, fuck, dude, they pieced me up. Like, especially going to a new academy like that, I would usually just like hang out and you know, say what's up and talk a little bit to the guy. I just went in the back and like put my clothes on real quick. I was like, see you guys, thank you for having me, thank you all, like really appreciate you guys, but bye, you know. You know, I was like, I can't be here anymore. I've got to go. I was like, yeah, there's definitely days I feel like where you would have been better off staying home.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's weird though, the days you feel like you should stay home and you go show up, you actually do pretty good.
You do.
And then, I get that where like, oh man, I feel like that pace I roll, it's always going to be the same. But some days I surprise myself and it's usually those days where I don't feel like going there.
Yeah.
And rolling. And then I surprise myself, but I don't really have where I'm ashamed.
Yeah, shame is maybe kind of a powerful word. I was kind of ashamed of myself. I was thinking to myself, I was like, fuck, if I switched to this school, they'd have to like demote me to like blue belt. They'd have to like demote me like big time. No. I guess some schools do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's rough.
I heard about that. Yeah.
That's rough. I'm not sure I'd have the stomach to do that.
Yeah.
Like take someone else and be like,
I don't know. It's weird, especially like when you see someone come in and they're
not up to the standard.
Yeah. If they're a brown belt, they're not a brown belt. Your blue belts are munching them. Like, that's not going to be good for you. Your confidence.
That's not going to be good for anybody, right? It's bad for business. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if they sign up at your place and they're training there all the time, and then another blue belt comes and visits and they munch him. They're gonna think that's your mouth. Like, come on, like,
no.
Man.
Yeah.
He's from somewhere else.
He's like, he's not my kid.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, that kid doesn't look like me.
Yeah. Like, go with that guy. That guy's homegrown. He's from here.
That guy's certified.
Yeah. So I can see why someone demote someone, but
yeah. That's rough, man. Yeah, that's got to be, you know, like.
It's kind of rude.
Yeah, man. It's like opening a jiu-jitsu school supposed to be fun. Yeah. Like, this wasn't fun, demoting this guy. Yeah.
No.
You know?
Yeah, it would be weird. Weird situation.
Yeah. You know who just demoted himself, like, I think last year was Ensign Inoue.
Ensign Inoue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know who it is. Yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just took a picture with a purple belt, and he's like, you know, I've been out of the game for a little while. The game's evolved.
Yeah, it has for sure.
And so, you know, no bullshit. I feel like I'm a purple belt.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's really honest, man.
Yeah.
That's really, really honest.
It's where when I came, I stopped as a blue belt as a kid. and I came back as a, I felt like a blue belt still. I didn't feel any worse.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I always stayed like, I would try to YouTube jiu-jitsu stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I stayed, even though I wasn't training, I kind of stayed involved in it.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
I'm sure just being around your dad, right?
Yeah. 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 So.
So what's that like running a business with family? They say you're not supposed to mix business and family.
I don't feel like I'm running a business. I'm just.
You just teach.
Yeah, I just teach.
But he's still, you know, you just, yeah.
Yeah. It's his.
It's his.
Yeah. It's all his. I don't do any of the paperwork.
That's
if
nice.
You ask me the price, I don't know. I asked that guy. Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't feel like I'm running a business with someone. Yeah.
You just help him out with the teaching.
Them. Yep. Yeah, I just help
him. And I guess that's the answer there is it doesn't feel like you're doing, like you're,
yeah.
Doesn't feel like it.
No, doesn't feel like it at all. We'll see when I get my own place. It's going to,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's going to help out a lot. So.
Oh, yeah.
Then it might start feeling like a business. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, with the explosion of jiu-jitsu, I mean, I, you know, fuck, that's something I think about sometimes too. It's like, man, the way jiu-jitsu's taken off, like,
yeah.
It's not inconceivable that, you know, you don't have, like, I'm not a world champion or anything.
Yeah.
I'm really, it's just me, you know, but I feel like, almost like if you build it, they will come, you know, and like you're actually accomplished, like you actually have accolades in the sport and you've actually like competed and have done well and have won championships and stuff like that. But I feel like jiu-jitsu is maybe getting to a point where you can like, you can just kind of open up a school and see who comes. It's getting pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what my dad's kids class blew up.
Really?
So yeah, it's definitely growing. I remember when I started jiu-jitsu, there was no such thing as a kids class, so it would just show up to an adult class, get thrown around.
Fuck.
Yeah. Or it was whoever wanted to rest would roll with me. That's how it was. So like, I'd see a guy on the wall rest, want to roll, and then he would throw me around,
just lightly throw the kid around.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
And then I remember when I started getting offended by that, like. He wants to roll because he wants to rest. Okay, we're going at it.
You gradually started becoming more and more of a pain to roll with.
So yeah, I remember, and the kids class didn't exist. Even a competition would be one kid.
Yeah,
over and over the same kid over and over.
And just keep taking his $80 or something.
And then I started to see it towards when I was. Probably 16, or it would be more kids.
Yeah.
And then now that's where it's at.
Some of these kids are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some of these kids are like, you know, there was this one girl yesterday at Nick's place. There was this one, you know, she was a blue belt. You have to be 16 to get your blue belt?
16 or 15.
Yeah. She was like right there.
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, she was like right there. She looked like 200 pounds, you know, small. And she was rolling with this like green belt kid who was significantly bigger than her, and she was just piecing him up. I mean, she had him in like a bow and arrow, and then she like inverted and took an arm bar, and she like came around for the knee bar. I mean, just handed this guy to himself, you know. And the kid was like, I guess the kid was pretty good. The other kid was pretty good too, but she was just like, she's like a prodigy. She's like phenomenal. Yeah. You know what I mean? You just see her climbing from technique to technique, grip super technical, moving from like. You know, lapel to sleeve, like perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, I was like, shit, dude. And then, like, kids, you know, they like their bodies are like so like fluid, you know what I mean? Like, they can move better than adults a lot of times, you know what I mean?
Yep, for sure.
And I was like watching some of these kids in the class yesterday. I was like, oh my God, they're going to like, the state of jiu-jitsu in just like 5 or 10 years is going to be so advanced.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's gonna be cool to do jiu-jitsu. That's why when I did it, it wasn't cool.
Yeah,
people probably thought I was doing karate still.
Oh yeah, it's like, oh yeah, my son's a black belt in karate.
Yeah.
What's going on? It only took him 2 years. You so you're green after 2 years? Is that kind of gosh?
I'm stuck at green.
I've got 5 kids. They're all black belts in taekwondo. They break the boards. Can you break the boards?
It's funny. I have like 7 cousins that train jiu-jitsu now. Like,
oh, it's all in the family.
Where were you guys when I was training? When I was a kid by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, we have my cousin and her husband actually started training because of their kid.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Are there 3 kids? So that's cool. And then I have another, it's like seven cousins in my dad's class. So they're going to be monsters, man.
That's so cool. You know who started doing jiu-jitsu with me is my girlfriend, Haley.
Okay.
You saw, I think you saw, you may have seen her in class a couple of weeks ago.
I think one. Yeah.
Small little Asian girl.
Yeah.
About 100 pounds.
Yeah.
She's sweet. She wants to do it because she wants to do it with me.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm not sure that she has the actual desire to do it
yeah.
on her own.
Yeah.
Which is like really sweet of her. You know, she wants us to share it. But I'm kind of like, you know, if you don't have a desire to do this on your own, it might always be kind of miserable because you're not going to like get good at it for yourself.
It should be fun for you.
Yeah, it should be fun for you. Yeah. Know? And she was like, I had some man's hair in my teeth. I was like, she's like, would I put up with you to do things with you? I had this guy's hair in my teeth. I don't even know whose it was. And I'm just like, oh, baby. It's like, baby, that's like Tuesday. That's like every day.
Imagine when she gets that sweat rolled down into her mouth.
Yeah.
So many times.
Yeah. Oh, man.
My wife, I don't see her ever training.
No.
Yeah, she talks about it here and there, but yeah, I don't ever see it happening.
That's good. That's probably good.
Yeah. She tried it. She tried it like twice. And she's not going to do it.
Yeah.
She's busy. So.
It's, you know, it should be one of those things where like you know when you do it, if this is for you or not. Yeah. You know, like the first time I wrestled, I just got done playing football in high school. It's like football and then wrestling. You know? And football sucks, man. Like the practice of football in high school really sucks. You line up. You just kind of wait around a lot until your play gets called, and then you kind of do your, you know. It's a lot of standing around in the heat, you know. Yeah. Like, my helmet was too small. It's giving me headaches.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck this. I don't really like this.
Yeah.
And then I got to wrestling. And it's like you're doing something the whole practice, you know. Like, the warm-ups are fun. You're drilling. And then, like, live wrestling is super, you know. And so, like, I knew right then, like, oh, there's, like, a fire inside me. I want to keep wrestling, you know. What I think is interesting is that, like, it kind of evolves over time. Like, I kind of, you know, wrestled through high school and college, and then I took some time off. And then when I moved here to Sacramento about 7 years ago, I started taking classes over at Ciapolista and then Ultimate Fitness, you know?
Yeah.
And even back then, like in the first, I don't know, like in the first couple of years, there was definitely this fire in me. I was like, I'm going every day. I'm going every day, you know? And somewhere along the lines, I think as you, at least for me, I realized I'm probably not going to turn into an MMA fighter.
Yeah. It's
not for myself, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll open up a school one day, you know.
Yeah.
But as you're sort of the ebb and flow of your desire to train and the ebb and flow of everything else going on in your life, you know, sometimes, you know, for me, jiu-jitsu has just turned into like, well, you better keep going because that's all you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, what are you, you're like, you're not going to feel good about yourself, like sitting at home when you could have been at jiu-jitsu and have like checked that off, you know. Yeah. Yeah. But there, I don't know. It's almost like a relationship where it's like, I don't know why I'm with this person, you know, but you kind of keep going. And then over time you realize, you know, you realize what it's, you know, what it's done for you and the life lessons you've learned.
Yeah.
Are you going to like push your daughter into doing it? Or maybe if she wants to, how's that? What's your mindset on that?
She wants to right now. I think I'm just going to do what my dad did. Like, she's not going to know she has a choice. Come on, get your stuff. We're going.
We're going. Yeah. She's still really small though, right?
Yeah, five. She's five right now. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she'll want to train with all her cousins in it. So
it's all in the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. She does judo right now and she gets mad when she misses a class. So
really?
That's good. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Guys are monsters.
Yeah. And then, so she's in judo, swimming, and gymnastics. And if she misses one, she kind of gets upset. So.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll see how she is in jiu-jitsu.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about opening up your own school. Is that something you're kind of got a timeline on, or you're just thinking about, or what are your thoughts on that?
I'm just thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a danger of maybe turning something you love into, like, business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. There's, yeah, for sure. I think what made me really start thinking about it too is I'm hearing about other academies opening up in Sacramento. I'm like, oh, shoot. You're like,
fuck, he opened up an academy? He sucks. What?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll drop in and teach. Show them who they're learning from.
So I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to get saturated in sack.
And yeah, then, yeah.
Like, okay, I'm finally ready.
Yeah. You kind of got to jump on it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And right now there's a lot of room. That's another thing.
There still is room.
I don't want to be next to a trading partner. I don't want anyone getting mad.
Step on each other's toes or whatever.
And then I don't want it to be too saturated. If you're not on my team, I'll open up right next door to you. Yeah, if you're on my team, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, you know, it's a really delicate thing, right?
Yeah.
It's weird because your biggest network is going to be where you grew up and have been all your life.
Yeah.
But that's also your current school's territory.
Yep.
Right? So it's almost like you have to like ride off into the sunset like a cowboy and like go like start anew somewhere, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Folsom or somewhere far, like where,
no one can get mad at you.
Yeah. Yep. Starting all over.
That's rough.
Yeah. It'll be fun though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought what would be fun. See, I think this would be fun. I worry that maybe people would get offended, you know, but like, you know, in wrestling, they have dual meets.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that like between schools.
I wonder.
But, you know, it wouldn't be good if like,
no,
it wouldn't be good if one school just like munched up the others. Yeah. You know, if it was competitive.
Yeah.
Good. You know what I mean? But it wouldn't be good if it was just like domination.
Yeah.
And I feel like the way the jiu-jitsu landscape is like, you get a lot of people who are like really hardcore about it will cluster up in one area. Yeah. And then a lot of people who are just kind of like, you know, I'm an accountant and I do this for fun.
Yeah.
Kind of cluster up in another area.
Yeah.
And then like the, you know, before we know it, the accountants got themselves into a dual meet
with
the, you know, the kids were skipping college.
Yeah. It'd be kind of weird because then you have that, the guys at work all day and then they train at night.
Yeah.
And then they might go against the guy that trains twice a day, three times a day. That might suck.
Yeah, I'm starting to run into some of those kids like at open mats. You know, like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I work for the state and I do this, you know, I'm 9 to 5 and, you know, I pack up my lunch and I try to be good. Yeah. What do you do? Oh, I just, you know, jujitsu three times a day.
Yep. Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so this is like not going to be competitive.
That's what I'm saying. You should do the master's
division. Yeah, I think fuck it. They should do like a further sort of like, I need you to certify that you show up to a job for 40 hours a week. So I know that this is going to be fair. Please sign here. Let me verify. I got to verify your employer. It's like a credit check. I got to verify that you work.
Yeah, because it's going to be tough, especially if they grew up with jiu-jitsu then they're at that level. They're at that age now in the class, training twice a day. Yeah, they're going to be monsters.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how it is.
Yeah. Do you have any competitions coming up?
No, I don't have anything right now.
Just taking some time off?
Letting my knee heal.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. I have a doctor appointment today.
Okay. Cool. Cool, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram, MaxwellBJJ.
MaxwellBJJ.
And then Facebook, Davin Maxwell.
Cool.
And then YouTube, too. My dad's YouTube channel is Team Maxwell.
Team Maxwell YouTube. Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. Team Maxwell Jiu-Jitsu on YouTube.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Yep.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
All right, man. Thank you. Yeah.